You're listening to Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno, supported by Homewatch Caregivers, whose mission is to preserve dignity, protect independence, and provide peace of mind for their clients and loved ones by providing exceptional home care.
97.9 FM WCHL is pleased to present Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno. Nicole has over 15 years of experience as a geriatric social worker and administrator, working in the long-term care industry to include skilled nursing care, Alzheimer's care, adult daycare, and home care. She also worked as a family caregiver. In addition, Nicole co-founded a nonprofit in the Triangle that specializes in support for caregivers. Now, Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno.
Hello, and welcome to this episode of Caring Connections. I'm your host, Nicole Bruno, and today I have the distinct pleasure to be speaking with Mary Ann Drummond, Vice President of Operations for Carillon Assisted Living. Today we're going to be talking about Meet Me Where I Am, an Alzheimer's philosophy. Welcome, Mary Ann.
Thank you. Hello.
Hi. I'm very excited to talk about this. Alzheimer's and dementia care is one of my great, 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 great passions. When I first started my career in the long-term care industry, I thought I wanted to work with kids, and I was put into a nursing home for an internship, and I thought I'd about die, but then absolutely fell in love with the population. So I am just thrilled that you're here today and share the same passion that I have.
I absolutely do. Thank you.
You brought with you some things that people don't know about this topic and probably should, and I really wanted to highlight this first one. If you know 8 people over the age of 65, statistics indicate that you know at least one person who has Alzheimer's disease, even if they have not yet been diagnosed.
Right. And I think that really helps us to understand just how prevalent it is part of our everyday life.
That's amazing. You know, similarly, none of us are going to escape life without becoming a caregiver at some point, whether
right.
It's informally or formally. Same goes with Alzheimer's.
It will touch us all at some point,
It definitely will. Okay. So your philosophy, Meet Me Where I Am. What do you recommend caregivers do to help their loved ones prepare for the journey of Alzheimer's disease?
Well, I think, you know, the hard part is understanding that we wait until we have crisis to make decisions and do implementation. So the first thing we need to do to prepare is educate ourselves so we know what's ahead. And then in doing that, we have to begin to include our loved one as much as possible. So the earlier they're diagnosed, the better, so they can be part of the decision-making tree.
Mm-hmm.
We know that Alzheimer's is a terminal illness. We know there will come a point where 24/7 care is going to be needed.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to do our due diligence and evaluate, do we have the resources?
Mm-hmm.
What does our long-term care insurance look like? A lot of times we think we're insured and we're not.
Right.
We pull the policy up and we call someone on the other end that says, no, if you really only need these services, it's not covered.
Right.
And these services, commonly referred to in policies as custodial care, is 99.9% of what we will need with Alzheimer's disease alone.
Right.
So we have to understand what our resources are.
Mm-hmm.
We need to start thinking about what those decisions will be and who will be the primary caregiver.
Mm-hmm.
And then understanding legalities. I think I have someone to make decisions for me because I have a healthcare power of attorney.
Mm-hmm.
That only works if I can't speak for myself. But what happens if I have Alzheimer's disease? I may still speak for myself.
Right.
And I may be making incompetent decisions.
Yep.
So understand the difference between that and what we call a legal guardian.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes, a long-term care planning attorney can be a great asset in preparing for that journey because they can walk you through these things and help you understand that difference so that if I'm making bad decisions for myself, my loved one can still protect me and execute their guardian.
And I think you're spot on with all that. However, I do know, and in my family in particular, I can give as an example, though. Oh, sorry, family, but you live out of state. My parents, they have a box where all their paperwork is.
Mm-hmm.
They won't even tell me where the box is. And I'm in this industry for 15, 16 years. And I think I'm giving all these caregivers all this advice on what to do. Sometimes families just aren't willing to talk about these things. And that is such a challenge and is such a disservice to the people who are going to ultimately be the caregivers.
Well, then it's very emotional, too, because sometimes even if parents are willing to talk about it, I remember 10 years ago, my mom wanting to talk about such things and me saying, Mom, you're too young. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
And so there's that emotional component.
Yeah.
So that's why I think when it comes to Alzheimer's, when you are educated and you know the signs to look for, and if you're starting to see those subtle changes, then you can have those open heart-to-heart conversations and say, Mom, Dad, husband, wife, this is what we really need to talk about.
Yep.
Let's go start looking into this and let's not be caught off guard.
Definitely.
You know, worst case scenario, we just learn more.
That's right.
And that helps to take the defensiveness away.
Definitely.
And bring the walls down.
Right. It's not that we're trying to kill them. We
no.
just want to be educated
That's
and
right.
do what they want someday.
Absolutely.
So what other types of services available to the caregiver? when a placement in a special program for an Alzheimer's be considered?
Well, you know, when we first start meeting the needs of the person with Alzheimer's, we find safety and security come first and foremost to mind.
Sure.
So you think about services that if you can't be there during the day and you have to work, which many of us do,
right.
Then you want to start thinking about help at home.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you're going to get services from in-home aid type services, home care services. Mm-hmm. Eventually, that may not be enough.
Right.
Even in the middle of the night while you're sound asleep, someone is getting up in the middle of the night doing things that aren't safe.
Mm-hmm.
So then you start thinking about what are the other options.
Mm-hmm.
Assisted livings are a great option when it comes to secured units.
Mm-hmm.
And not all secured units are created equal.
Nope.
You have to look for certain things such as the philosophy of the program.
Mm-hmm.
What are the goals of the program?
Mm-hmm.
What care model do they follow?
That's right.
And my rule of thumb is if they can't answer those questions, then I'm not sure that's really a program per se.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first thing I would say is look at what needs you can meet safely.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't meet those needs safely, look into home health, home care.
Mm-hmm.
I think home is best for as long as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But when safety becomes the concern, then you have to look at other services.
And I think you need to think about transitions, too.
You do.
With, especially with an Alzheimer's or dementia diagnosis, this could be, if the person's otherwise physically well, this could be a very long road.
Very long.
We're talking, could be 20 years long road. And so, you know, I think you also need to be thinking about when you're seeking a placement, you know, is this a place that's going to be able to walk that road till the end, potentially? Because
right.
as we all know, if you constantly uproot a person and move them, they decompensate faster and then, you know, can bring death quicker.
Right. Without consistency in the environment, the disease will progress more rapidly,
mm-hmm.
according to studies. And I just have to say, Nicole, you said how long it can be.
Mm-hmm.
I had the pleasure of hearing Laura Bush speak on Alzheimer's. And
mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know, but her father was actually a victim of Alzheimer's disease.
Wow.
And they refer to it as the long goodbye.
It is.
I'd never heard that before.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, it really helps you to understand the need to prepare.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Definitely. So what should you look for, I guess, given in light of this conversation when making a placement decision?
I think the first thing you need to look for is a place that you feel you can trust
mm-hmm.
With the care of your loved one. Again, looking at, ask them, tell us your success stories.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think a program who's really meeting the need of the person with Alzheimer's disease is going to have great success
mm-hmm.
stories.
Definitely.
If they know how to bring a therapeutic care model into their program, then you're going to see people who come in that, okay, I'm not really speaking much anymore, but now I'm returning to simple sentences.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe I haven't played the piano in 10 years, and now
mm-hmm.
I'm playing the piano again.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what the team approach can bring to that person, it should bring.
Well, on that note, we're going to take a quick break. I'm here today with Marianne Drummond, who is the Vice President of Operations at Carolina Assisted Living. And today we are talking about Meet Me Where I Am, an Alzheimer's philosophy. And we will be right back.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno on 97.9 FM WCHL, supported by Home Watch Caregivers. Now, more of Caring Connections.
Welcome back. This is Nicole Bruno, your host of Caring Connections, and I am here today with Marianne Drummond, the Vice President of Operations for Carilion Assisted Living, talking about Meet Me Where I Am and Alzheimer's philosophy. Welcome back. Okay, so let's just jump right in. I know we have lots of material to cover here today, and I have a question for you. Now, I know this means something for you than it does for me. What is R&R in the Alzheimer's world?
Well, you know, R&R is something every caregiver seeks, right?
Yes, it is.
It's hard sometimes to get rest and relaxation.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things we've learned is that when it comes to caring for the person with Alzheimer's disease, you have to understand a different R&R,
mm-hmm.
And that's learning how to redirect and reminisce.
Mm-hmm.
And when we learn how to do that effectively, then we're going to find periods of rest and relaxation. So to do that, you have to know a lot about mom before she was mom.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll share a quick, funny story with you.
Okay.
Two sons who had their mother on a pedestal trusted us with their mother's care. And
mm-hmm.
she was in a very sad state when she came in,
mm-hmm.
Didn't really speak, was apathetic to her environment.
Mm-hmm.
We really at first thought it was just really end-stage Alzheimer's
mm-hmm.
disease. Turned out she was just terribly depressed.
Oh.
And sometimes we forget
mm-hmm.
that just because we have Alzheimer's disease, we don't stop being human.
That's right.
And with the right environment, the right therapeutic approach, well, she blossomed
mm-hmm.
and she began to, you know, have fun and
mm-hmm.
participate and was social. Well, they were so excited. Then they came in one day, pounding their fist on my desk, saying, "What have you done to our mother?"
Uh-oh.
I'm like, "Oh, my. Yeah, uh-oh." And I said, "I don't know. Why?" "She's dancing." And, of course, inside I'm thinking, "That's bad. Why?"
I know.
And he said, "But you don't understand. When we grew up, dancing was of the devil. And she taught
oh.
us that if you danced, you would die a
oh.
horrible death. She would beat us with an inch of our life if she ever caught us
oh,
dancing."
Wow.
So I said, well, let's go see what's going on. And, you know, they were afraid we had medicated or done something to alter her own, you know, personality.
She was.
Walked in, and she was doing the Charleston in explicit detail.
Oh, wow.
Other dances that we didn't know how to teach her.
Wow.
And I looked at them. I said, gentlemen, meet your mother before she was your mother. She danced.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was so incredibly, you know, just a shock to them.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, that's what brought joy to her now. Because mm-hmm. as we know, when we have Alzheimer's disease, we revert to that time in life mm-hmm. that is our long-term memory.
Yep.
Think of yourself as a teenager.
Right.
You know,
very
sometimes
different.
We smile,
yeah.
sometimes we hide.
Yeah.
And we think of our teenage self, our young 20s, 30s.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Sometimes we're different then
yep.
than our older, wiser person.
That's right.
So it's important to know that person because that's the person you have to reach.
Mm-hmm.
And the redirection, if in my 20s, I was raising children and mm-hmm. that's still my drive each day, meet me where I am and present to me a warm story that I still relate to when
yep.
I'm having another moment of anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And then now my short-term memory is so acutely impaired that I'm relating to this.
Mm-hmm.
And then learn how to reminisce with me and then redirect me to an activity that absorbs me
mm-hmm.
so that now whatever I was doing before that was creating you a lack of rest and mm-hmm. relaxation, I am very content in a wonderful place enjoying my activity. And that's what I mean by that.
I think one of the biggest lessons I learned during this whole tenure that I've been working in this industry is that a lot of times families have a very hard time with, and I can well imagine this, of us celebrating the small little pieces of success that they have, like mom painted this beautiful watercolor today, and oh, well, great, mom painted a watercolor. Or you often hear the comments of, I don't know how you could work in this profession, it's so depressing. And so that long goodbye story that you told,
yes.
you know, I often view it as grieving for the person while they're still alive. You're losing little pieces
yes.
of them every single day. And when it gets to that point where they don't know who you are anymore and you're no longer the daughter, it's so hard. And it's that's the most difficult time for the family.
Well,
and I know you brought with something.
I did. And that is a very much where the genesis of Meet Me Where I Am came from. I have a little poem to read
mm-hmm.
That really capitalizes on that, called Meet Me Where I Am. You look at me with eyes of sadness when I don't seem to recognize you. You see me as confused and bewildered, yet I know where I am and who I am. I'm in my 20s and raising my children, whom I love very much. When you see me hold a baby doll as if it's you, know that the love you see in my eyes is real. It is the very love I will always have for you. When you see me recognize a stranger as my husband, know that for me, he is you. Meet me where I am. Please don't grieve if I cannot relate to where you want me to be. I have no control over the road I'm traveling, yet it is my reality. I cannot come to you, but you can come to me. I am like the taproot of an ancient oak tree running deep into the ground. I am still me, but you may not always know what part of me I am today. Seek me. Seek to find where I am, and you will find a place for you beside me.
So with Alzheimer's disease, even when we do meet them where they are, I know that behaviors demonstrate. And
right.
we often hear about things as behaviors. And I don't really like to call them behaviors because I personally view them as what you would expect if you were feeling the way these
symptoms.
People are feeling.
I think
yeah.
as clinicians, we prefer to call them symptoms.
Or it's just I'm normal.
Right.
I mean, just the delayed reaction, just the overstimulation. If we were feeling like that all day long, I would well expect we'd all be doing the same things that the people do with this disease, especially towards the moderate and severe stage. So what are some of the best ways to handle some of the more common behaviors associated with Alzheimer's?
Well, and I love the fact you don't like to call it behaviors. I agree with you. But that being said, yes, they are responses to the stress of our environment
mm-hmm.
that we don't recognize and we're not feeling familiar. We feel afraid.
Mm-hmm.
So there's three questions. No matter what the behavior is, for lack of a better term, you should always ask yourself.
Mm-hmm.
The first question, is there a risk of harm to their self?
Mm-hmm.
Second question, is there a risk of harm to others?
Mm-hmm.
And third question, is this a normal behavior for them?
Mm-hmm.
So if there is any risk of harm to themselves or others, then yes, an intervention needs to be made.
Right.
But if they're not hurting themselves,
mm-hmm.
they're not hurting others, and this is a normal, typical behavior for them, such
mm-hmm.
as the person that repetitively claps
mm-hmm.
or the person that is, you know, they have this habit of doing this particular motion over and over.
Mm-hmm.
Then we should not do anything to disrupt that because in some way that is their own opportunity for success.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but that's not meet me where I am. Meet
mm-hmm.
me where I am is that noise is annoying
mm-hmm.
or the shadowing. You're right behind me. Every move I make
mm-hmm.
is bothering me.
Mm-hmm.
So as a caregiver, I want to bring you to where I'm at as a caregiver and I want you to stop and
mm-hmm.
I try to make it stop.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe I'm getting up at 2:00 in the morning and I think it's time to go to work.
Right.
Some people call that sundowning.
Right.
For the person with Alzheimer's disease, it's called reality.
Mm-hmm.
That's their drive at the moment.
Right.
To just put me back to bed and turn the light out is going to result in I'm going to get up and probably fall and who knows
yep.
what.
Yeah.
So understand the behaviors. Wandering is certainly the most concerning behavior we deal with. Mm-hmm. That's where we hear about someone that gets lost in their own backyard and it's, you know, freezing outside. Mm-hmm. That's the safety concern. Mm-hmm. So when we start to wander, we start to worry about 24/7 care being needed.
Yep.
Apathy and depression, again, if you're feeling depressed, how are you going to react to your environment? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what do we need to counteract that but stimulation, mm-hmm. opportunities for success? We forget how simple something like folding a washcloth can be. Mm-hmm. And what I love to do is watch folding styles. Mm-hmm. I can get five different ladies with Alzheimer's
all
together.
Different.
They have five different ways of folding.
Yep.
And they can be in the more advanced stages and still get competitive.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Yeah.
And they feel so successful.
Yeah.
And, you know, those kinds of opportunities for success are great ways to counteract that.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a quick break. I am here today with Mary Ann Drummond, who is the Vice President of Operations for Carelon Assisted Living, talking about Meet Me Where I Am and Alzheimer's philosophy. We will be right back.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno on 97.9 FM WCHL, supported by Home Watch Caregivers. Now, more of Caring Connections.
Welcome back. This is Nicole Bruno, your host of Caring Connections, and I'm here today with Mary Ann Drummond, Vice President of Operations for Carelon Assisted Living, talking about Meet Me Where I Am and Alzheimer's philosophy. And right before the commercial break, we did a little teaser. Sorry, everybody. But we are about to talk about a story that relates to when an Alzheimer's dementia behavior is not typical.
So, you know, we've talked about our three questions, and is this a normal behavior for me?
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not a normal behavior for me, look and see if this is a way of communicating. What we have to remember is negative communication doesn't always come across negative.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if I walk into a room of people and I walk up to everyone, I'm gently patting them on the cheeks and laughing,
mm-hmm.
most people smile back and think, how nice.
Mm-hmm.
She's excited. She's happy. She's having a wonderful day. I know a lovely lady with Alzheimer's disease that was doing this one time.
Mm-hmm.
And she never did this before. She usually kept to herself and wasn't that social. But for about an hour, any person she encountered very lightly patted mm-hmm. them on the cheeks and laughed a beautiful laugh.
Mm.
It took us a little while to figure out she had a tooth abscess.
Oh.
And that was her way of trying to communicate that.
Saying mouth hurts.
Yeah. Oh. That was her way of trying to say I'm in pain.
Mm.
And so we have to play Sherlock Holmes. And we have to understand, due to the whole disconnect in the brain and, you know, sometimes even the word salad feature that we get, mm-hmm. one word saying something meaning another.
Yep.
Watch for the cue of unusual. That's mm-hmm. your biggest clue.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't figure it out, maybe take them to the doctor. Let
right.
the doctor do a physical.
Mm-hmm.
Urinary tract infections are so common in the elderly. So when the lady who stuck to herself got up one morning and started pitching everyone in the crotch,
uh-huh.
we knew exactly
yeah.
what she was saying.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not always that obvious.
Right, right. Okay, so quickly before we end the show, I know you want to talk about resources, but one thing that I think as caregivers listening to this show, it is so easy to burn out. What
yes.
should caregivers do, or what are some suggestions to avoid that burnout?
The first thing is recognize that when it comes to Alzheimer's care, there's two kinds of burnout.
Mm-hmm.
We all know about physical burnout, where you
mm-hmm.
just can't go anymore because you're so tired.
Mm-hmm.
But emotional burnout is, I think, very unique to these types of diseases that
mm-hmm.
are terminal.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to give ourselves permission to say, I'm burning out.
Mm-hmm.
In a career, my career as a nurse over 30 years,
mm-hmm.
I think that's the one thing we fail to do in any caregiver role.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first thing I'd recommend is give yourself permission to admit you're feeling some signs of burnout.
Mm-hmm.
Be part of a support group.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they can recognize it in you before you can.
Yep.
And people say, I don't need a support group. I've read every book. I know
yeah.
all about it. But
yeah.
you do.
Yeah.
You need to be around the people that are experiencing what you're experiencing. So when the time comes,
mm-hmm.
you can get connected to the resources
mm-hmm.
and you can be supported and comforted.
Definitely. Okay, so resources. How do we get a hold of Carelon?
Well, we have a lovely website, www.carelonassistedliving.com. We have 17 communities and growing in the state of North Carolina, so you can link to us via that website.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I can receive mail directly through the website. My email address is maryann.drummond@carelonassistedliving.com, or just call our main number. You can ask for me if you want more information. 919-852-4000.
Wonderful. And Carelon Assisted Living does specialize in Alzheimer's care as well.
We do. It is our passion, our niche.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, thank you so much for joining
thank
us today.
You.
It was such a pleasure to have you. This is Nicole Bruno, your host of Caring Connections, and I had the distinct pleasure of interviewing Mary Ann Drummond today, the Vice President of Operations for Carelon Assisted Living, talking about Meet Me Where I Am and Alzheimer's philosophy. And as always, if you have any caregiving questions, you may email them to caring@1360wchl.com. Thank you so much and have a great day.